Let's talk to Richard Roper about the movies coming out this weekend.
Sure.
Quite a few interesting ones. All right, so Stan and Ollie. I'm interested in this. John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan play the Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, and we're talking about the biggest comedy duo in the world, but we're talking also about 80, 90 years ago, so now I don't know if everybody knows who Laurel and Hardy were, but they, before Martin and Lewis, before Abbott and Costello, they reigned supreme in Hollywood in the 30s, did all these great short films and movies together. They were graceful, gentle humor, physical humor. This is one of those behind-the-scenes movies. It shows them in the 30s, and then it picks it up in the 50s, where they're kind of forgotten, and they go on this European tour, all based on a true story.
That's all true, right?
And John C. Reilly, Chicago's own, is buried under the prosthetics and the fat suit and everything, but is just giving a wonderful performance as Oliver Hardy, and Steve Coogan is perfect as Stan Laurel. So it's almost as if they have dual roles, because they reproduce some of the famous Laurel and Hardy routines. And a lot of it was, Laurel was the hapless one, Hardy was kind of the pompous fool, but he'd end up in dripping in mud and saying, "That's another fine mess you've gotten us into," and a lot of cool little physical shtick where they'd be trading each other's hats and stuff like that. And they do that perfectly, but then we see the friendship behind the scenes, which of course was different in the partnership. Stan Laurel was really the writer, the creator. He was the real brains of the outfit. Mm-hmm. And Oliver Hardy was a guy who liked to gamble, liked the ladies, was a sweet man, but they had their ups and downs. So I'm giving a solid 3 stars this film. And it's nice just to see one of these films that just tells a story without being too scandalous, but it kind of sticks to the facts. And whether Laurel and Hardy or not, I think you can enjoy it. And you can watch it with your parents, you can watch it with the grandparents, you can watch it with the grandkids. It's a good, wholesome tale, if you will, about two great comedy legends.
It's interesting that they went and made a movie like this.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they got to know from the start it's not going to be a huge
box
hit.
Office, right?
But I think we have a little clip here, and you can tell, you'll hear John C. Reilly's voice even as you're hearing Oliver Hardy's voice, which I like.
I couldn't sleep for days when they told me what you did, and I couldn't sleep when I did it. But you still did it. You betrayed me. Betrayed our friendship. Friendship? We're friends because Hal Roach put us together. And the only reason we stayed together was because the audience wanted it. I have real friends. And yes, we play golf. And we go to ball games. And we have sauerkraut on our bratwurst.
People will remember our movies long after you've finished your hot dog. You know something? You're just a lazy ass who got lucky because you met me.
Lucky? To spend my life with a hollow man who hides behind his typewriter? You're not real, Stan. You're hollow.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
That's one of their lower moments together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I've had conversations like that with people. This is kind of an interesting story, because there was a moment. Hal Roach, of course, was the great silent film producer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when talkies started, he continued on, but not with the kind of success.
Exactly.
And Stan Laurel came over with Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, it goes all the way that far back.
Do they go back in that?
Yeah. No, they talk a little bit about that. Yeah. And Danny Houston plays Hal Roach, which is kind of great, because Danny Houston is Angelica Houston's half-brother and the grandson of Walter Houston, also from Hollywood royalty. And he plays Hal Roach, the studio head in this film.
It's a pretty cool thing. The story of how, and he came over, they were in the theater, he and Chaplin were in the theater together, mm-hmm. and then they came over to the United States and they barnstormed the United States doing stuff. And then Chaplin stopped here in Chicago, made some movies in 1915, and then went out to Hollywood, obviously, and then went and did his thing. And I think that the reason that Laurel and Hardy became such that Hal Roach really wanted to invest in him, because that style, that pratfall style of comedy that the Brits had brought over from vaudeville there to here, was really working on film, more so than the American actors were working.
Exactly. And one of the sweetest things about their partnership, Oliver Hardy died, I want to say, in the mid-50s, and then Stan Laurel lived about 10 years longer. He was offered, roles in some of those, it's a mad, mad, mad world type things, but he didn't want to do it. But for the 10 years after Oliver Hardy died until Stan Laurel died, Stan Laurel kept writing skits and films for Laurel and Hardy just to kind of keep the memory of their partnership alive, and to kind of, knowing obviously his partner was gone, but he kept writing material for them.
So John T. Reilly, is he up for, could he be nominated for an Oscar?
That was the thing about this film. They were put it out there late December, just coming to Chicago now, thinking maybe it'd get some awards buzz, but it doesn't seem to be getting that. Although the acting is that caliber, it's just such a kind of an under the radar subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances are great, but you know, I think the ship has sailed in terms of nominations.
Maybe makeup and hairstyling, though.
Makeup, great. I will say, because you know so much, even if you barely know who those guys are. And the first time you see John C. Reilly, you're like, oh my gosh, look at that makeup. Jeez. And then you forget about it because he's so good.
Awesome. I like him.
So Nicole Kidman, too, for coming up here.
Yes.
Nicole Kidman is battling herself this weekend at the box office.
Yes.
We'll talk about that after we find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom.
Is President Trump getting closer to declaring a national emergency to get his border wall?
Yes.
We'll let you know.
Yes. The answer is that yes.
Violetta.
Why can't we listen to Aretha? Hmm? You want to feed your soul? Then listen to its queen. Think about it. Yeah. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think. It's amazing, ain't it? I sound just like her.
Yeah. When I close my eyes, which I needed to, it's uncanny. It's like identity theft.
That is a clip from The Upside, the Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston, Nicole Kidman movie that is coming out, that they've been promoting pretty heavily on television. They spent some money on this, mm-hmm. Richard Roper.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, a clip perfectly encapsulates what is wrong with the disaster of a movie. As you can hear there, for those of you who haven't figured out what this movie is about yet, Bryan Cranston is the billionaire quadriplegic who hires Kevin Hart, who is the ex-con, mm-hmm. who's never thought of anyone but himself to be his personal caretaker. Now, why would a billionaire who could hire anybody and has this incredible staff and the biggest penthouse apartment in New York City, why would he hire the ex-con who just showed up so he could get his, you know, parole officer to see that he's trying for work? He hires him because we need a movie. And the movie now is going to have the carefree black felon who's never been good to his woman or his son and has always lied his way through life. He's now going to teach the uptight billionaire quadriplegic how to learn to live and love again. And let's start off with some Aretha Franklin. And the stereotypes just come on through for 2 hours and 6 minutes of dreck. And this movie is, and look, Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart are actually really good together. This is one of Kevin Hart's more grounded performances. But my gosh, I mean, once again, you know, playing the black convict who's got the record and, you know, he can get the good street weed for Bryan Cranston's character and he can teach him how to, you know, boogie as well as he can in his wheelchair to Aretha Franklin. And in the meantime, of course, Bryan Cranston's character teaches Kevin Hart for self-worth and, you know, you're more intelligent than you give yourself credit for. We just saw this movie. It's called Green Book. A month ago, it's the same movie, and it's just traffics and all those things you can see
away. That movie plays the other way.
Exactly. It's based on a French movie, which is based on a true story, and I think we're pretty far away from the true story. And part of the problem, too, with the Bryan Cranston character of Philip, he's this extremely wealthy guy who he got paralyzed in a paragliding accident when he went paragliding in a thunderstorm.
As one way.
While his wife was dying of cancer and he needed to get out into the and kind of just, you know, have a little fun on his own. So you're like, well, you're an idiot.
What a strange backstory.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, what happened to him? He was paralyzed in a paragliding accident during a thunderstorm, and then his wife dies of cancer. So he's feeling sorry for himself. But then Kevin Hart shows up with his scraggly beard and his army jacket and really shakes up all the white folk in the building and in Bryan Cranston's life. 1.5 stars for The Upside.
Oh, man. Now you know
Don't
he's out there.
Say I didn't warn you. You know this is the kind of movie where like, okay, so he gets a job as a caretaker, right? I mean, this is like, it's going to be a live-in caretaker job. You have to be like a professional nurse,
right?
A physical therapist. And you know 5 minutes into this movie when he gets this job, there is going to be a catheter changing scene. Ugh. You know there's going to be.
That's in the TV commercial.
There's two, actually.
Yeah. That's what she said is the punchline to that.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, come on.
Lazy writing.
Lazy stuff.
I guess now you know.
Script went through a lot of rewrites, which always tells you there's a lot of problems.
He's been doing so much pub for this, and even though he's got all that Oscars heat on him, and he doesn't want to be asked about that anymore, it makes sense, I suppose.
Hey, Rich, you want to, maybe the three of us go host the Oscars?
Sure, why not? What do we got to lose?
They have it all figured out now. They're just going to have their A-listers present and have some musical acts, and it's all going to be good.
It's,
no host.
It's been hostless before, about 7 times mm-hmm. in the history of the Academy Awards, and we all survived.
So we'll be hostless. Is that official today?
Yeah, they're not. They're just, well, nobody will do it. Nobody. I mean,
because there's not enough time to prepare. Is that the issue? Or I think it's
partially that, and it's like, you know, when Steve Carell was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said it's just a thankless job. Even before all this, it always has been. The next day or the night of, now almost all the reviewers go, ah, Jon Stewart bombed. It's not Jon Stewart's fault that the thing goes on for 4 hours, right. But they just blame it on the host who comes out for 8 minutes, tells his jokes, and then pretty much disappears for most of the show.
Now,
but yeah, if you want to host, I think, you know, there's probably valet parking and everything for you, bro. You and Anna go right there.
Is there a movie worth seeing this weekend? There's the other Nicole Kidman movie. Is it good?
Yeah,
Destroyer?
Yeah, very quickly. I say Destroyer. Nicole Kidman plays this badass LA cop who 20 years ago went undercover with the gang and things went really sideways. And now it looks like the gang leader's back out. And this is one of those performances where typically the guy would be playing this role, you know, the alcoholic, you know, rogue detective who's, you know, going off the grid to kind of solve the crimes. But Nicole Kidman takes on the role and she's great in it. So that's definitely worth seeing. But you got to know it's really intense R-rated stuff. But that actually is an award-worthy performance by Nicole Kidman. And they did release that in New York and L.A. just in time for Oscar nomination. So if you hear Nicole Kidman, Destroyer, what is that? It's the movie that's out this weekend. So that's worth seeing.
All right. Well, so there you
go. Just don't do the upside. There's no upside to it. I'm telling you, man.
So, all right. It cannot stand on its own 2 feet.
Loud. Too soon.
Oh.
Would you like to play News or Ruse?
Sure.
312-981-7200.
Can I call?
Yeah, go ahead. Go in the other room. Go in the room where they're answering the phone calls.
My friends always complain to me they can never get through on News or Ruse.
312-981-7200. We've got, it's a big deal. It's a $50 Eli's Cheesecake gift card.
Dang.
Oh, I love Eli's.
That's nice right there. That lovely. Gets you a pretty big cheesecake right there. All right.
It's true.
Thank you very much, Richard. You have...
My pleasure.
You have ruined... Because I really wanted to go see a romping comedy about a guy in a wheelchair. That was exactly what I was looking for.
Bryan Cranston, between that and Breaking Bad. I mean, come on. Feel better. He's a great actor.
He is a great actor. Geez, and I get the idea of what they kind of want to do there. It's sort of this liberating thing, but it's still weird because it's a pee pee caca jokes, right?
And of course, the inevitable, he's got all these pain medications, but Kevin Hart knows where to get the really good stuff on the street. Get him that pot. And then you get the inevitable, let's get 18 hot dogs, you know, we're high scene, which was pretty relevant and hip in 73, 74 when Cheech and Chong were doing it.
Oh, gee.
Lazy, 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 as Rose said.
All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News being brought to you by Townstone Financial.